listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings. And we are back in wonderful Boston, Massachusetts. It's fucking covered in snow. The bomb cyclone or whatever it was dropped about 12 inches on us. Not the first time some of you have heard that. So we're knee deep in the white stuff here at the moment. But despite the snow, we always bring the heat here on Patty Pigskin. It's no different this week as Barry is back with us. And his rants are actually starting to gain a cult following. So let's see what he brings to the table this week. We will give our brief thoughts on the wildcard games that happened last weekend. We'll chat about some of the coaching changes. The carousel starts to turn. There's some ins and there's some outs. And then we'll look ahead to the divisional round games. We'll also bring back our beer review. We're going to sip some beer. We're going to review it and see what we think about it. So that's everything for episode 28 of Patty Pigskin. Stay tuned, enjoy, sit back and relax. Not really a difficult one this week for episode 26. It's Marshall Faulk, running back. He was born in New Orleans in 1973. Played his high school ball in New Orleans Carver High School, where he was also a standout sprinter with quite an impressive 100 meter time of 10.3 seconds. He received athletic scholarship to San Diego State University Aztecs, and he played running back there from 1991 to 93. His college play got him into the Heisman finalist voting all 3 years, but he could only finish as high as second in 1992. He left San Diego State with many offensive records, including 5,562 all-purpose yards and 62 touchdowns, which is eighth most in NCAA history. He was drafted second overall with the Colts in the 1994 NFL Draft and played 5 seasons in Indy, winning Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1994 and going to 3 Pro Bowls with the Colts. He was traded to the St. Louis Rams in 1999 for only a second rounder and a fifth rounder. He went on to 5 Pro Bowls as a Ram and won Super Bowl 34 with fellow NFL Network host Kurt Warner. He's in the Pro and College Football Hall of Fame, and his number 28 is retired in both the Rams organization and at San Diego State. Stats-wise, rushing yards, 12,280. Rushing touchdowns, a perfect 100. Receiving yards, 6,875 and 36 receiving touchdowns. So truly an all-purpose back. Episode 28, Marshall Faulk, running back. This one is for you. So let's crack on with this week's show.
Bitches want money stack. I just want my percent. She told me to hit the hole. I used to play running back. You niggas be fumbling. Don't you give them no gun again. These bitches be flying out, check. Cause money be coming in. Said the money be coming in. 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 See you niggas just run your mouth, yeah. My nigga, we run the set.
So I have Barry back with me. Barry, happy new year, first of all, and welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Just got back from Tampa, where we are the proud owners of the 7th overall pick, which is obviously...
I was wondering why you had a nice tan going on. I was like, that hasn't been in Boston.
Oh, definitely not in Boston. We've been having all the snow that we both actually got to miss in most regard. Your car got a big load of it from the photo I saw. But
it's still there. Still I haven't been arsed digging it out yet. I'm like, fuck it. I'll give it a few more days. So, do you have a good holidays? Do you celebrate Christmas, or what's the deal in your place?
So, raised Jewish family, like Jewish mom, Jewish dad. So, never really like the religious reason of it.
Yeah, yeah. But the family and the get together.
Yeah, my wife is, celebrates Christmas. She's Catholic, and it was like this idea where I like the idea of what it stands for. So I'm always fine with the celebration of it, which is just family togetherness.
Never had and lots of food. Exactly. And lots of drinking.
Yeah, which is, to be fair, right down a Jewish alley there anyways. So,
which I did learn at my first Jewish wedding a year and a half ago. I was like, fucking hell, these guys know how to party.
Oh, yeah, no, we put it away.
That was my first experience of of Jewish people really able to hammer away a few beers. So I'm glad you buy in on the whole.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, I think everyone around the holidays just wants to have that time where you're together with the family anyway. Yeah. So it's like, and I know you went back to Ireland for the same reason. So yeah. it's just awesome when you can do it.
Yeah, and I'm not like, I'm not really religious, but it's still getting together with your family and friends and having a bit of food, having a bit of drink. That's what it's all about. So have you been?
As you and I both know, we never need good reasons for those things.
Absolutely, yeah, which we will demonstrate in a few seconds. So yeah, thanks very much for coming back on. We've been getting withdrawal symptoms without you here. Your rants have been going down really, really well on our social media pages.
I appreciate it.
People are loving it. People are like, I love when Barty gets fired up. So
I know, and apparently the beers keep helping with these things. But no, I'm excited for it. I don't know if there's as much to really piss me off today as much as I'm more excited because it's just like a really good week of football coming up. You know,
love it. That's perfect. Right. Without further ado, then we will get into the fuel for your fire. So. Beer review. We haven't had this in a few weeks. I actually forgot to pick up beers when we went to Steve's. Actually podcasted from Steve's house last week. You could hear his wife walking in looking for a few DVDs. So again, I look for inspiration when I go to the Boston beer cellar here in Fenway.
Yeah, we'd love to hear this story.
And I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory. It's Blizzard of Hops.
Yep.
And basically, it's fucking
snow. Blizzard Hops.
Blizzard of Hops. It's we've had something from this company before. It's the Treggs Independent Brewing. Where are they again? Where does it say they're from?
Handcrafted.
Oh, yes. Pennsylvania.
There we go.
We've had a beer from these before. I was like, all right, given what happened in Boston over the last week.
Yeah.
Blizzard of Hops is perfect.
I mean, the entire city's still covered in snow.
And there's a lot of dirty snow now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of black, manky, just disgusting snow all over the place.
No, that's the problem is I took my dog out. My dog loves to run in the snow. She came back and her entire white
filthy
coat of fur on the bottom, just filthy.
Filthy.
Yeah. She gives me this horrified look as I bring over the towel.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. She's like, well, I don't need to go outside anymore, Dad. We're good.
My dog the same. We got him this time last year, so all he knew was snow growing up. So now he's like, yeah, I'm going to run all over the place.
Here we go.
And he's like a little drowned rat when we get him in.
Well,
so,
the nice part is he doesn't shed, at least.
Yeah, he doesn't shed, which is great. So, Blizzard of Hops, Winter IPA, Treggs Brewing Company. Cheers, and we'll enjoy this over the next half hour or so. As always, give her a review at the end. Right, we'll move on. We'll recap the games from the wildcard weekend. Now, I've got to point out, people can't see it, but you're actually wearing a Tennessee Titans jersey here.
So I'll fully explain this.
So explain.
Because everyone's like, oh yeah, you come on every week and you yell about the Bucks, and all you care about is the Bucks, and all you ever talk about is how much you hate Jameis Winston. This is very linked, because the jersey I'm wearing
is of
Marcus Mariota. For me, I will always remember the moment, which is I was in Tampa for the draft. We had the number one pick, and we're praying, my dad, my mom, my sister, we're all praying we hear the name Marcus Mariota, not Jameis Winston. So I was so bummed for two different reasons. First is obviously I wanted Mariota to be my quarterback. There was also a second interesting tie-in, I don't know if you remember this, which is the city that drafted Marcus would get a direct flight to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Hawaiian Air, as support of Marcus being the first major Hawaiian quarterback.
So you're just being greedy and you just want them.
But like, why can't you have both things, right? Yeah. But so,
fair enough.
So we were so bummed with this, but as a result, I've always had a soft spot for the Titans since, because I love Marcus and I've always wanted him to succeed. So I bought this jersey a little over 3 years ago, and it made this past weekend a lot of fun to watch, because I would fully say, and I know we're going to talk about this, but the Chiefs look like they were the dominant team and were going to roll over, like just the Titans, and you know, a key injury happens, Kelce goes down with a concussion. And a couple breaks go here and there.
Bad
and
hit, too. He wobbled. When he got up, he was wobbling.
Oh,
he hit a
lay on Jeff Schwartz to not fall over. That looked really bad.
Not good.
Yeah. But as a result, like, you know, it was a crazy game. But I got to see Marcus in his first playoff game really lead them to victory. Mm. And it was a really cool moment. Because I think, like, there's always still up in the debate, you know, Jameis, Marcus, who's better, or even the more recent debate, are any of them even that good? Because I've heard that, you know, Marcus had 13 touchdowns, 15 picks this year. That's not a great season.
No. Nope.
But at the end of the day, like, I looked at it, and it was still nice to watch him have that moment and see that he was just still such a clear leader on that team.
Sure.
Because I don't know if you remember this, the final run before they got to knee at the ball. So this is a play. I know that you kind of caught up on this. So Mariota throws the ball to Derrick Henry, and there's a linebacker, Sorensen, the free safety, who's waiting right there to tackle him. And Mariota jumps in front, lays his shoulder, and most QBs just go down for a little, like, let me just lay at your knees and so you can't fully run over this. Mariota drives his shoulder right into the safety's chest and pushes him back 5 yards as Henry gets the steam he needs to get the first down and win the game. His D-line rushes the field and starts just batting on the chest like, my boy. And I'm like, it was just one of those things where, like,
didn't he stiff arm a DB as well? Did he not for a first down as well? No, beautiful.
He had a good game. He did.
And it was he's Polynesian, right?
I know.
They're hardy folk. The Polynesian people are not fucking soft whatsoever. So
yeah, and I will say, like, there was definitely a bit of it where, like, Tampa was happy in that game more than you would imagine, because then there were a lot of people who looked at it, and even though we didn't get Mariota, I think a lot of people still were happy to see him succeed.
Yeah, and if you look at his numbers, 19 for 31, 205 yards, 2 TDs, 1 in. That's kind of like ballpark the stats he's been putting up all year.
And again, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm not going to make the argument here that Marcus is a top 10 QB.
Yeah.
But I think there's an argument that he's a very solid QB.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's just, like, it's nice to watch it work out. Because, again, like, none of these guys that we're talking about in the more recent years, besides a very few amount, are really pushing even this top 10 QB, like, territory.
Yeah.
Because, like, think about it. Jared Goff had an amazing year. Is anyone calling Jared Goff a top 10 QB in the league right now? I can hear the arguments for Carson Wentz, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, Goff, maybe not.
And no. Like, needs another year that, maybe, and, like, before he starts touching.
And then you start
there.
Looking at these things where you say, like, you know, looking at your QB and trying to say, are they a top 10 QB, isn't always the most realistic way of saying, do we have a good QB? A lot of teams can have solid QBs and have good teams around them and still find success, and the Titans are an example of that.
True. I did say Derrick Henry would have a big game.
Yeah, you did. You called that one right.
Which he did. 156 yards on 23 carries on a TD.
Well,
didn't think they were going to win.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Well,
Looking good at the start. When you look at the score line, it's like, all right, we have this wrapped up. And then shit happens. Yeah. And a play like Marcus Mariota throwing a touchdown pass to himself, which is only the second time you...
ever.
You mentioned it to me. I was like, surely it's happened a few times. It's only the second time it's happened.
Yeah, so it's
Gus Johnson. Brad Johnson.
Come on, near and dear to the Bucks heart. That's our Super Bowl QB right there.
No. Brad Johnson's the only other man to do it. And we also mentioned that Brett Favre's first ever completion was to himself, and it was against your Buccaneers. Yeah. So, random bit of trivia.
Well, he has a very interesting way of this, which is Brett Favre's first career throw is a pick six, and Brett Favre's first career completion is to himself.
Very odd. Just a fucking bizarre sequence of events.
Those should be like the top 2 points on the resume before you talk about the records or anything else. Just be like, wow, that seems impressive already.
So, yeah, when a quarterback's throwing a touchdown to himself, sometimes it's those little things that happen. It's like, okay, maybe it is their day.
Yeah, and, like, I think at the end of the day, like, the momentum shifted towards it, and we can talk about this a little bit, because we're going to talk about the Chiefs offensive coordinator, who's now the Bears coach, in a little bit. But there's some play calling that didn't make a total amount of sense there. But one thing that was really interesting to see is that we had always thought, you know, they work best as a two running back committee.
Mm.
DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, in that pecking order, it works, right? They can pace each other. You have a third down back. This all makes sense.
And that goes back, if you remember, a couple of years ago, was it the smash and dash? They had Lendale White and Chris Johnson together. That was like, they kind of had a similar scheme going on.
And the
on
Titans
there.
Have really loved that system. But the thing that was weird and that I realized while watching it is I think their offense is better with just Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They run harder, agree. And I think he's a better pass blocker. The receiving game as a result.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, once you put... So DeMarco Murray is great when there's not that much room because he's very shifty. He's very good between the tackles. Derrick Henry, if you get that guy a crease ever, though, and give him wide open space, he's so hard to take down.
True. I looked at him,
it really seemed to be like a very concerted effort to say, we are going to open up one singular hole and make it very clear. And you go,
and he's
got
the
steam for 9 yards, 10 yards, whatever it needs to be.
Yep.
It seemed to work. And the Chiefs are a very good run defense, so it was good to see.
Yeah. Okay, so Titans 22, Chiefs 21. That left us all at 0-1.
Well, the craziest part, too, if you want to talk about, like, you know, we always talk about, like the wisdom of Vegas and all that bullshit. Over-under for this game was 44.5. And this ended up being 43 points. It's only 43 because the Titans went for two times and missed it both times.
Illuminati confirmed.
But it's just ridiculous. Like, I watch these things because I see these over-unders. I'm like, what is Vegas thinking? The game ends. I'm like, oh my God.
They were actually right again.
Yeah.
As they always are.
It's just all occasions. Yeah. The second you think you know more than Vegas, you know that you're instantly lying to yourself.
And you're down like $100 or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Actually, one thing, it was good to be able to just walk into a bookies while I was home in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
I think my dad and I won. I think we got like
I'm saying
80 quid each or something like that.
You won that parlay, the 8-game one?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Just straight up betting. Just like buying money, it was easy. Although I've noticed that Paddy Power have now blocked me on social media, and it was that bookmakers that I won the money from.
Oh.
Yeah. So anybody from Paddy Power, come at me. What's up with that? Blocked on their Facebook page now. Very strange.
Did you like post the winnings and say easy money or something?
No, not at all. I don't know. Maybe they're like, we can't have this guy using his football knowledge to win money off us. I guess.
Jeez.
Limited football knowledge, I will add. Okay.
I mean, very passionate and direct and, you know, opinionated football knowledge.
And using that, it to win money.
Exactly. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Our sponsors, DraftKings, haven't got a problem.
Oh, definitely not.
Anyway, we'll chat about them later on. Okay, we'll move on to the late game on, well, very late game
this
for Irish people.
This was shocking.
It was a shocker. And it was the Falcons on the road in LA against the Rams, who just shit the bed. Such a great season. Went down the toilet. One and done. What did you think of this one? This was definitely one now I didn't watch.
I watched this late. And I was very much in shock. Because if you told me, because before the game, the spread was Rams by 6. I felt very, very confident the Rams would easily cover that. They're at home. The Falcons have looked so up and down. Mm. Their offense has just never arrived. And I knew their defense was good, but, you know, you think the Rams' offense is just so good. It really looked like the moment was too big for them. And especially, I feel really bad because he's been phenomenal this year. But Pharaoh Cooper, the kick and punt returner, fumbled twice, lost two fumbles. And that ended up putting them behind by a good chunk to start off.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're trying to come back. And I think they're down 13-0. And it makes the game a lot harder when you're playing from behind. And then there's this pressure because it's your first playoff game in God knows how long for your franchise alone.
Yeah.
But first playoff game in over 20 years for LA.
That's right, yeah. And now I will, I got to call out Steve on this one, because last week Steve asked me when the last playoff game in LA was. And he said that
it was 94, right? Something
like that. Yeah. And I guessed it was the LA Raiders against the Denver Broncos. He said, no, it was not. It was the LA Raiders against the Buffalo Bills. Well, in fact, that Buffalo Bills game was in Buffalo.
Yeah, I would say, wasn't that earlier?
So I was actually correct. Somehow I managed to get it right. It was actually the Raiders against the Broncos that year.
Okay.
So, Steve and I already chatted about this. I slid through the DMs to say, hey, guess what, Steve, I'm right. But I will put him on blast here. I hope he doesn't mind.
I think it'll be okay.
So I did get that right. It was a bit of an educated guess, rather. So
yeah, and like kind of two things stuck out to me that were weird. Is the first is I was shocked they weren't running Todd Gurley more, and I know part of that is you're behind. But as we've seen, so much of their offense has been through Gurley that it just seems strange to me that they made no passing plays to get him down the field and make him open like 5-yard option routes like we saw with McCaffrey.
He gets so once he gets open, he does the rest. He takes someone on like 60, 70 yards.
Exactly. And like I just amazed that they didn't try to use that home run ball a lot more often.
Because
you're down, like use Gurley. Make him run 30 times, make him have 40 touches.
As we've seen, he's matchup proof. He just gets tons of yards from the line of scrimmage, through catching passes or just running the ball.
But it was crazy to see at the end, like, he had, like, 90 yards, like, total. Like, I think he had, like, 91 rushing yards or something like that, and he ended up having, like, 3 catches for 5 yards or something. Like, it's a...
Close, yeah. 100. He went over 100.
He went over 100.
101 on 14 carries.
Okay. But see, the 14 carries is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he should be easily getting 20. That. Yeah, yeah. Easy 20, 25 carries.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I know that part of that is matchup. Part of that is just purely, like, it's you are playing from behind. But I saw so often that you could have just ran him and made things easier. Even late in the game, they had a 4th and goal at the 2. They threw it 3 straight times for 2nd, 3rd, and 4th down. If you run Gurley twice, I think you score there. And then
it's too predictable as well. You gotta keep the defense on their toes.
Exactly.
It's like when teams like are close to the goal line and they run it on 1st down and they run it on 2nd down. It's fucking obvious it's more than likely going to be...
Like, in the 3rd down play action pass.
Yeah, it's like if we're able to see that and we're just barstoolers watching. Like,
yeah,
obviously defensive coordinators can see that.
Oh yeah, and they know exactly, and they're calling it right there. And the hard part there is, like, yes, they could have had a better game plan. Yes, you can see certain moments look like they weren't ready for it. But they had a lot of moments where you look at it and you go, like, in a year, once they're back, this is a scary team.
Yeah.
Some throws Goff made, like a very corner comeback route to Robert Woods. Desmond Trufant's right there, swats as hard as he can. The ball just gets there by a split second early. That's, you look at those throws and you're like, you are there.
Yeah.
But you just need to take care of the other things, all the small details first, yep, and you'll be scary. But the other part is that when we look at it for this year, Atlanta could have instantly just made it to the NFC Championship. Like, I know we're going to talk about this game, but, like, they look like they figured enough out.
Seriously.
In that game.
Yeah,
they're rolling. And they're going to Philly with Nick Foles. I know we're going to talk about this. And next thing you know, they're in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, you're like, how the fuck did that happen?
Exactly. Like, now you have the sixth seed who could be going to the Super Bowl. And did anyone really expect that? No. But as a result, it's crazy because by them winning, they all, not only did they make it super easy for them because it's the first time ever where a one seed is an underdog now.
Yes, yeah.
But they also screwed over their division rival in the Saints by having to send them to Minnesota instead of letting the Saints go to Philly had the Rams won.
True. I also remember another time a six seed went all the way to win a Super Bowl.
I can't remember.
Giants.
Also the Packers and the Steelers.
I don't give a shit about them. Okay, so yeah, that was, we were 0-2 then.
Yeah,
because we all went the easy route.
But let's move on the to the good news where we were 2-0
yes,
the second.
Yeah, yeah. Let's quickly get away from where we fucked up and move on to where
fake
we actually
news,
got.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, get away from that fake news, Fox and Friends.
This was the most.
This was
this
ugly.
Is the hardest it's, game to watch.
I'm just looking at the box score here. It's,
yeah,
it's fucking horrendous. 10-3. It sounds like a rugby score. That's like something you'd see in rugby. 10-3.
That's a good baseball game right there.
Yeah, a good baseball game. Yeah. It looks like I'm looking at a 9-inning box score here. It's like zeros all over the place.
So I remember, so I was home and I was with my dad and we watched the games on Saturday and, you know, Marcus had us so pumped. And while the Rams game was a little disappointing, it was still a good game to watch. So game starts at 1 o'clock in, like, Eastern when we're in Florida. And my dad is just like, hey, we're going to be watching the game. I'm like, I'm going to start after halftime. He's like, why? I'm like, because.
Best call you've ever made.
I'm like, we'll be lucky if there's 10 points by halftime. Halftime Jeez. Score was 3-3, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's and exactly it was, what it was, yeah.
And he just you looks at me it. After, and he's just like, yep. And I asked him after, I was like, do you know what the Vegas over-under for this game was? He gives me this puzzled look. He's like 20 points. You know, just trying, I'm like, no, try 40.
Yeah.
Which, like, that
it was always going to be the under.
Exactly.
Always.
Like, this is one where, like, if I ever could have said, like,
bank. That would have been Barry's, yeah, like, banker.
If you
right
had
there.
To do, like, one, like, big thing, like, for the, if you had to just throw 100
yeah.
on something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
seriously.
That under. So easily.
Yeah.
Because
it was,
not only are both defenses very good, but both QBs were horrible.
Look at their stats. Tyrod Taylor, 17 of 37, 134 yards, one int. Blake Bortles, not much better, 12 out of 23, 87 yards.
I think he had almost as many rushing yards, right?
He had one more rushing yard.
88? Oh, God.
88. He was, yeah, 88 on 10 carries. More than Shady.
So they showed this stat, and it was super sad. There have been four times in playoff history where a quarterback has thrown for under 100 yards and won a playoff game.
I love these little trivia bits that you come out.
And three of them have been against the Buffalo Bills.
No way.
Like, just historically.
Jesus Christ. What more can we really say about this game?
It's just, it's
there's
so,
not,
it was
there's just
so,
not much to talk about.
It's like, such an ugly game. And the problem is, like, everyone's like, oh, but Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh when they played earlier this year. I'm like, that's great. But if Jacksonville scores 10 points, there's no
there's
way
no,
they're winning.
No, they're not winning shit.
There's no way.
I am sad to see the end of people getting powerbombed through tables.
I know. It was
people,
good while it
people jumping off porta potties while on fire. And just guys just absolutely wrecking themselves off the back of pickup trucks.
I really would love, though, if someone threw just some charitable effort, bought the Bills Mafia Super Bowl tickets and just said, just
just
crash
just
the
go
park.
To the tailgate.
Just
you don't even have to go to the game.
I know, just show up.
Just show up and fuck shit up and just. We will
it
sit back.
It would be
back.
So fucking glorious.
First thing I look at when the Bills are playing, Barstool Sports. I just know that someone's getting chokeslammed through a table.
And the hard
it's
part.
Brilliant.
Oh, I know. It's so great. But the hard part about this game, too, is, like, there were so many chances where Tyrod looked like he could have done something. And at the end of the day, like, we know this. The Bills want to get rid of Tyrod Taylor. We both know Tyrod Taylor is not the worst thing ever. I heard a great analogy, actually.
They've been getting their feet wet by bringing Nate Peterman in. Yeah, it worked out horribly.
One inch at a time, yeah.
But they're still, like, you know, they're testing the water a little bit.
I'm trying to actually think of the comparison of who's worse, Peterman in the NFL or me in our local flag football league as a QB. I think
your stats are better.
I know, but I think he still could give me a run for the money there because I think the consistency.
So we're not going to throw our QB Andrew under the bus at this point. Are we going to move on?
I think we're good on that one. But no, so I heard a great analogy about Tyrod Taylor though, which is, so if you're the Bills, I feel like this is one of those scenarios where, like, you've talked yourself into that you have to move on because, you know, like, the fan base is expecting it, the ownership.
Yeah, no, you have so to many move times. On.
But Tyrod Taylor, the best analogy I heard was that he's like a 17 in blackjack. It's not always a winning hand.
I heard that, all right. Yeah.
But he's not perfect, but
it's brilliant. Yeah. It'll get something done, exactly. But will it take it all the way?
Exactly.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. And that's a hard one.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Do you reckon they'll draft a QB?
I don't think so. They just won't have a good enough spot for it, unless they want to, like, go ballsy and try to take Baker Mayfield and say that's going to work. But I just feel like if you have to give Peterman a year, because worst case scenario, he sucks, you have a high draft pick next year.
True. One thing that's interesting is, like, all these receivers that were in Buffalo and they've gone elsewhere.
To the Rams, mostly.
Yeah, and, well, the NFC West, you got Marquise Goodwin as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Goodwin.
Chris and Hogan.
Yeah.
I always knew Chris Hogan was going to be good, no matter where he went.
We all knew that one, yeah.
Like, but what does that say for their wide receiver coaching up there?
Oh, I mean, it's two things, though. Like, let's be fair. Like,
wide receivers now that have gone on to be better than what they were in Buffalo.
I agree, but let's also look at the quarterbacks they've all gone to.
True.
Like, Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods both went to golf.
Yeah, that's true.
You have Goodwin, who's looking great now that Garoppolo's there. And we all know, like, based off this, that Garoppolo's going to be getting paid a lot of money for how good he's been looking. I mean, just in the mirror, especially. And then, you know, then Hogan goes to Brady.
Very handsome.
Like, they're all going to very good quarterbacks. So I think, like, part of it's coaching, but part of it's also you haven't given them a good QB to really work with.
Fair point. That's a very fair point.
Do you think Kelvin Benjamin walks? He's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, they only got him until the end of the year.
Yep.
I think he does, yeah. I think he should. I really think there's not much there for him.
I'm fully with you.
And he'll have no shortage of sewers. Like, I feel bad
about the matchup, though, because of, like, he had to play in such horrible conditions in Buffalo for the second half of that year that, like, his stats don't look great. So he may be one of those guys who takes a one-year deal as kind of like a prove-it-to-me
situation. Well, he did go down for Paddy's pluck of the week, so he has that against his resume, the game in the snow there. So
that was great.
If his career bombs after that, he'll always have.
Oh yeah.
He made Paddy's pluck of the week. So,
but didn't that just look like such a fun catch he did?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Like, you just catch him, you'd roll around the snow.
It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was great.
We'll move on to the. So we got that one right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, who didn't get that one right?
Yeah,
so that brought us to one and two. So we're not going to pat ourselves in the back too much.
This was a good 50-50 call, though.
This was. And you were giving people shit on Facebook about this.
Well,
people thinking the Panthers are going to win. You were like, well, they didn't win the first two times. I was loving it.
Well, the thing is, like,
you're getting fired up about this.
I hate this adage in sports. It's hard to beat a team three times. You know why you beat them the first two times? Because you're usually a better team. Like, it's ridiculous to me, though. Like, I watched both of those Saints games. In the first game, Cam Newton threw no touchdowns, two picks. And they ran decently well, like with Jonathan Stewart. In the second game, Cam threw two touchdowns. Sorry, he threw three picks in the first one. Then Cam threw two touchdowns, no picks in the second one. You think, miraculous improvement. It's going to be way better. They still lose by two touchdowns. The Saints are just a better team this year and can do more things than the Panthers can.
Yeah.
The Panthers amaze me, though, which is the Saints in their two matchups, I know you guys talked about this, have averaged like over 100 yards rushing in both of them.
Mm.
And as a result, like, you thought the key to this game was going to be Kamara, was going to be Ingram, was going to be just some mixture of them, maybe like random Ted Ginn off, like, you know, jet sweep, but like some speed routes they were going to be doing with their runners.
Just to put your finger on that one reason.
Jesus, where is that coming from?
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. They didn't really run well. Like, I think they ran for under 100 yards total.
Yep.
And Drew Brees just reminded you that this is what makes this team so scary, is that they can beat you running, but at the end of the day, they also have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's very capable.
Yeah.
Who can
pick our poisons. Exactly. Like, well, you're trying to shut down our two-headed monster running back.
Then Drew Brees throws the third.
We just got old man Drew there that's ready to fucking throw all over you.
And, like, I get it. And the one thing I'll say, though, is, like, I don't like Cam Newton particularly. Cam Newton played a good game. Cam Newton deserved better than what he got. He had a very bad drop for a touchdown by Kalen Clay in the first quarter, which then led to Gano missing a chip shot field goal. So they lost points there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, losing by 5 points, that's huge, obviously.
Yeah, and Steve had actually come out with a nice little nugget last week. He said that Cam Newton had only thrown for over 185 yards once in his last eight games.
It's ridiculous. It's
crazy. And in fairness, he did step it up. Like, he threw for 349, two TDs, no wins. Yep. But it just wasn't enough because they have too many weapons. Like, you just look at some of the receiving yards. Michael Thomas, 131 yards. Ted Ginn Jr., 180 of that was in one. But still, that's two receivers there. Like, combined, they have almost 250 yards.
I know.
Like, I'm liking Drew. I'm really feeling Drew now.
I do too. And like, I have to say. I know. No, I'm same here. And I would love it if he did. I really would. Like, I know we're about to talk about the matchups, but I would love to get your thoughts for a second. So there are eight quarterbacks left. So we have Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota, Drew Brees, Case Keenum, Matt Ryan, and Nick Foles.
Yeah.
In order, if you had to give me like a 1 through 8, who would you be happiest if they won?
Happiest if they won? Oh, Jesus. For the storyline or just...
just whatever your personal reason is. I would love to hear it.
Least happiest? No, I'm going to get fucking killed for this by my girlfriend.
I don't know what you're going to say here at all.
Brady, like...
It's too many times.
He has five rings. I mean, yeah. Like, I love the guy and all. I think he's a great player. Like, the best at his position. But, I mean, I would be happier to see other guys.
100%.
So, yeah. Brady at 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would say, just because, like, I don't really have any vested interest in him, I do like him. I would put Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He has a couple of rings.
Yeah. He's been in three Super Bowls.
I would put him at 7. So, then we're left with, we got Drew, we got Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum,
Nick Foles, Matt Ryan, Bortles.
I want to see the Eagles do well.
Okay.
I feel like they deserve something.
I just want to remember this when a Giants fan said this.
Right, yeah, now. I've said this to Jerry a few times. Yeah. Like, when I saw Wentz go down, I was actually devastated for them.
Oh,
because I loved watching them play, and they really looked like they had something going.
I think if Wentz is here right now, I think they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think they're going all the way.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. I really wanted to see Philadelphia like represent the NFC just because I enjoyed watching them. I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed watching them. Even when they fucking beat my Giants with that heartbreaking field goal, I enjoyed watching them play. When it's Foles, though, it lessens my appeal for them 100%, winning.
Yeah.
So I'll put Foles at 6.
Yep.
To round out the bottom half, Mariota. Again, I like the guy. I like that they're living up to the hype that the Titans had at the start of the year. But again, it's like, you know, number 5. I want to see Matt Ryan redeem himself. Not that he got a rough time in the media and stuff after last year. I want to see Matt Ryan redeem himself. The fact that he's a local BC kid as well.
It's cool. Helps a little bit. Sure.
I would put him number 4. I'm going to just say I want Drew Brees as my number 1. I'll spoil it and just say I want totally Brees fine. As my number 1. Then I'm left with Case Keenum and...
Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah. Blake Bortles.
Moved up higher than I thought.
I should have put Blake Bortles a little bit further down. We'll call Blake Bortles middle.
Sure.
Case Keenum, I don't think he's going to do it, but...
it would be great.
I have him 2nd behind Drew Brees.
No, that's very fair.
Just because, like, I love his story. I also like Adam Thielen's story. He was undrafted and now he's like one of
Minnesota,
the best receivers.
Minnesota. Yeah. It was like so great.
It's like the third string quarterback. It's like, it reminds me of when Ohio State went all the way a couple of years ago on their third string quarterback. With 12 gauge. It's like, okay, Braxton Miller's gone down. They're fucked.
Yeah.
Okay, JT Barrett looks all right. JT Barrett goes down. Okay, they're totally fucked. But they kept it going.
Mm.
It seems like that the Vikings are kind of the same way. It's like, you know, they lost Teddy last year, and then they're like, oh, we got Bradford, okay. Bradford goes down, all of a sudden Case Keenum is in, and it kind of has that similar vibe. It's like, holy shit, they're still going. So I kind of like that storyline. He's a real underdog, let's be honest.
100%.
The fact that it's like, Jesus, they're still there, you know. So I'd have him high. But Drew, I want to see Drew. I think his window was really starting to close.
Oh,
yeah. Even though he's clearly still getting the job done.
Yeah.
I just think, like, the window, I think he, I would say in his mind, he's like, the next year or two, he really needs to get something done. He has all the tools.
Oh, 100%.
He doesn't really need, he has a great defense now, young defense. He has all these amazing stud players around him.
I think he knows. Like, it really feels just, like this is.
It's clicking. Yeah, it
this
just
feels like.
I have a good vibe sense. About the 100%. Saints. Yours is probably different.
So mine is pretty similar, actually.
Okay.
So my bottom is very much the same, which is Brady. Look, I've won him. Yeah. I've watched him win 5 times.
Yes.
Like the incremental enjoyment I get from it, let's be fair, is negative. But beyond that, it's also not that much. Like it doesn't. My life is not different with him with 6 versus 5.
What would your wife say about this?
I mean, she knows this, so it's fine. Hey, everyone, communication, very important here. But so, for me, 7 would be Ben. I've also watched him just do a lot of them. I'll never see a better moment from Ben in a championship game than the throw he did to Santonio Holmes.
One of my favorite TDs of all time.
Yeah. And beautiful. As a result, like, you know, I've gotten the great moment of, like, the underdog Steelers. I've watched those other parts.
Yeah.
I don't, like, this is great, and there's a lot of players on the team who I would be happy for if they won. Like, I love Antonio Brown. Getting Le'Veon Bell getting a title would be cool.
Yeah.
But Ben himself, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Foles is also 6 for me, so we're both very similar here.
Okay.
5 for me, I'm going to kind of push it down a little bit, is Case Keenum.
Okay.
I love the story. I think it's great, and I give him a ton of credit for it. I think the problem is, I'll never fully believe, and this is just the bias, and it's not fair of me to say, but I'll never fully believe like it's going to work. And as a result, I think if I keep watching them win, I'm going to keep thinking of other reasons as to why, like, oh, the defense did this, or they're running it so well, or Thielen's just too good.
Yeah.
And like,
if they win this week, does he move up or does he stay?
I mean,
does he stay at 5?
Well, it would be hard for him to stay at 5 when there's only 4 teams left.
Well, yeah. No. But does he stay, like, kind of bottom of the pile?
I think he, like, moves up a little bit there. Okay. Like, I would love to see him actually prove it one time. Because the problem for me is, like, we watched it this entire regular season. We're like, when are they going to look like he's Case Keenum? If he looks like he's Case Keenum, like the one we always thought he was in that sense, against the Saints, then it's hard to say, like, it was good while it lasted.
Yeah,
because it's like, you're kind of just self-confirming your bias in that sense. If he beats the Saints, looks really good. All the credit to him, would be really happy if he can do it. I'm like, as far as the Vikings go, I'm really pulling for them in general, just because, like, I love the Saints, I'm pulling for them too. Like, so for me, whoever wins that matchup is my obvious rooting interest against the Falcons, who I hate. But it would just be one of those cool things to watch the Vikings host the Super Bowl, like, at home.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, 4 to me, is going to be just purely, I would love to watch a scenario where, like, randomly they played the Patriots again and they actually won. Like, just the,
that would be
like the relief you would feel. Or if he loses a second straight time. Like, either which
all
way.
All those t-shirts with 28-3, which are on sale in Foxborough, by the way. Have
they're
you seen
always
that?
On sale.
Like, they're actually on sale at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, as in, like,
yeah.
Do you mean as in they're at a discounted price, or you mean they're selling them?
They're 28% off. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but they're actually
28.3% off.
Yeah. They're actually on sale at Gillette.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's fucking
no
chill.
Oh, no, they've been sending those a lot. And, okay, I'm going to say this. So my wife and a lot of my Pats friends have been saying, 28.3 is not a barb at the Falcons. It's celebrating our own team. I'm like, if you want to say you're celebrating your own team, say Super Bowl 51 champions.
Don't create
Don't
a whole line of fucking merchandise.
You might as well just make a shirt that says Matt Ryan fucked up and just wear that around with a Pat symbol on it and just say, like, this is our shirt. But as a result, like, it's obviously a cheap shot. So I would love to see him get a redemption in that sense. Could be kind of cool. But again, the problem is there's guys above who I love. Well, 2 guys. 1 is hilarity. Number 3 is Blake Bortles for me.
Okay.
Purely because the Jags are so ready to move on from him that if he randomly fell ass backwards into a Super Bowl, just watching that franchise like, what do we fucking do now? Would be hilarious.
You have to keep him. Like,
you can't let him go if he wins you a Super
Bowl. No, Jesus.
Do I think they're going to win? Of course not. But it would be hilarious for that reason. Drew Brees is
Tom Coughlin's just like, what do we do now?
Yeah, I'm planning to put Eli here.
Yeah. Eli, plans have changed somewhat.
You think you're going to have to stay in New York. Drew, for me, is 2, just because, like, I think it's a crime how few people consider him a top 10 QB of all time. Because everyone, like,
who said that? Tell me their addresses and we'll go.
I know exactly.
Fucking
no, but I've heard like, all the time on, like, Sports Talk Radio, and they're like, who are your top 10 QBs of all time? And they're listing, you know, like, obviously, like, greats like Marino, Elway, like that.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to tell me, like, guys like a Joe Namath are in your top 10 all time, and Drew Brees isn't. I'm like, you lose all credibility.
That's fucking bullshit.
Because Drew Brees to me, I
consistently
exactly
just
like I get the
stored.
I get the dome argument. Like, congrats, you have ideal conditions. But tell me a QB in the modern era who's had a worse defense every single year and yet put up amazing points. Like, how many guys score 30 points a game and have losing records?
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
He gets his job done all the time.
Every single time.
All the time.
And that's why when I watch this team, like, I feel so validated for him. Because
yeah.
it's just like,
you finally.
Yeah, you see what happens the
they're
second they give
up,
him a team.
Yeah, they're holding up their end of the bargain.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's good to finally see. And that's why, like, I would love if they can capitalize it a second time. Because to me, like, we know this. Rings are not everything when we talk about all-time conversations. But a second ring definitely helps for any of the arguments.
Yeah, that's the insurance policy.
Exactly. And it would just be great to see him get that, like, proper recognition.
Yeah.
And one is just the personal homer pick. And that's I would love Mariota. I would love to see it happen. And it would be, like, the greatest, like, F you to my own franchise if Mariota wins this. And, like,
just become a Titans fan.
And then to watch, like, Tampa fans try to defend Winston still is hilarious.
I have actually never seen you wear a Buccaneers jersey.
This
is the first NFL jersey I've seen you wear in the flesh.
So the problem
I think you should just become a Titans fan.
The last jersey I have, this will really date it. The last time I really like was that in and like say I want to get this guy was Josh Freeman.
Oh wow.
I know.
Jesus.
Because the problem is, first of all, I hate
fucking
the new
hashtag TBT right there.
I hate the new jersey designs. They look like fucking digital clocks.
They do.
It's terrible.
They do.
But two, it's like I can get a Mike Evans jersey. I'd be super pumped for that. But I'm a guy who I wear QB jerseys, and I think that's just kind of like where I've tethered with it. And I just have never wanted to support Jameis Winston. So it's been a very easy argument as to why I haven't done it. But
just get Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Exactly. That's actually a great one to get. That'd be like
there
a huge mind fuck. Everyone's like, whose jersey? Fitzy?
Just get one with Fitzy on the back.
It doesn't say Fitzpatrick. I'm going to pay the extra fee for the custom name on it. It's going to be great. Even though it's less letters than Fitzpatrick. It's going to be great.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll take a quick break, slightly digress there, and we'll move on to the second half of the show.
Sounds good.
All right, so we've cracked open a new blizzard of hops, so we'll continue on. We'll chat about the coaching carousel. Myself and Steve chatted a little bit about it last week as it was Black Monday. A lot of guys were getting the boot, and there was a few moves.
Or Black and Silver Monday for Gruden.
Yeah. Very nice. I like that, yeah. Which is leads in nicely. The biggest one was the unveiling of Gruden as a Raiders head coach. He said he didn't really know the terms of the contract. That's absolute bollocks.
Well, I mean, he's saying it on TV because like McDonough's like trying to congratulate him and he's like, I haven't heard anything yet. And then the end of the broadcast, like, we're gonna miss you. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna miss you too, confirming that he's leaving anyways.
He fucking knows he's worth $100 million now.
Well, I know.
Is that wouldn't be all guaranteed though, would it? Or if they call him,
coaching contracts are
mostly guaranteed.
Unless they'd note if it's not.
So
like as opposed to players where you assume it's not
instantly worth $100 million.
Yep.
I do believe there is an investigation now that's going to take place. Steve did touch on this last week about the Rooney Rule again has kind of been made a shambles of. Apparently,
they did the fake bullshit interviews.
There was the tight ends coach for the Raiders. His name has slipped my mind now. And there was also a college head coach, I believe, who they interviewed. Apparently, this happened after they had already agreed with Gruden. So they really need to clean up the Rooney Rule there.
Well, the hard part to me is so, like, the Rooney Rule is, like, consistently mocked in football in a sense, and like it's not meant to be like, and I get where it's coming from. It's a very positive place, which is to say, like, we want to make sure we give an opportunity.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, like, if you come into a process and you say my guy is this guy, so let me give you the hypothetical here. If Bill Belichick says he wants to go to the Giants, you know you want Bill Belichick. There's no coaching search, like, you're done.
Yeah.
But like, now with the Rooney Rule, you have to find some person who's a minority descendant to like interview before you can say Bill Belichick's your coach.
True.
To the point where, like, I get it, and I think it's more applicable when it's a wide-open coaching search. It's like, make sure you interview enough
people. Yeah.
But when you have an obvious target in mind, the Raiders knew they were going for Jon Gruden. And, like, if Bill Belichick says he's leaving, you know everyone, like, is going to be saying, that's our guy.
But their hands were still tied. They still had an interview.
Yeah, and, like, that's where I think the rule kind of escapes it, and that's where I think you're running into an issue like this, which is, like, it's a kind of BS practicality that you have to go through just to like make sure you're complying with the rule.
Yeah.
But like, are you ever really giving them a shot? No. And is it demeaning then in turn to those people? Yes. To point where like it's not the right scenario of how they thought it would play out, I think.
Yeah. So we'll move on to who was hired. So the Bears have a new head coach.
This was shocking, like how quickly
this developed very quickly. for a storied franchise like the Bears,
yeah,
I would have thought like they wouldn't just like pull the trigger so quickly.
Well, the timing is rough too. It's like they hired him, so Matt Nagy, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. He made the play calls for the Chiefs in the playoff game. And the entire second half, they fell apart, and they only ran Kareem Hunt 5 times in the entire second half, which is ridiculous when you have an 18-point lead. And, you know, like, you're watching this, and you're thinking to yourself, what are the Chiefs doing? That's not even an offense they're running. And then it's all of a sudden you hear the guy who called those plays that you thought made no sense is now a head coach for a different team.
You reckon right he just checked it out?
I don't know. Like, I don't it know. Sounds but, like, I don't sketchy. Know how to explain it, though. And, like, that's the hard part about this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Bears fan, like, you're feeling pretty uneasy right now.
Cause
you're
Our
GM seems so willing to give this guy a job right after it. They must have, like, almost agreed beforehand. He's kind of like, well, let me just, like, you know, act like I still support this, even with this. Because that wasn't a very good show of coaching an offense.
No.
And now they're saying he's calling all the plays for the Bears.
And look at his numbers. They jumped up to 6th in points scored in 2017 and jumped up to 5th in yards gained. And I think he's going to get the Oregon head coach, former Oregon head coach, Mark Helfrich, to be his new offensive coordinator. So,
I think
Bears have their new head coach. Yeah, and Mitch Trubisky has his new coach as well. So
I think it had to be an offensive guy, though. You know, like, because you're saying
when you have a new quarterback,
exactly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're trying to like stake your claim that this is what the franchise is going to do and this will make sense. It has to be an offensive-minded coach
and someone that has developed Alex Smith into what we would call a game manager. All of a sudden, his offensive production exploded. So, if he's able to channel some of that in with Mitch Trubisky, going forward, Mitch Trubisky surely is going to take a step forward in his development. So, fired. Seahawks, which just happened a couple of days ago, kind of sweeped there a little bit. Seahawks fired offensive coordinator Darren Bevell, and somehow Tom Cable was still in a job, but offensive line coach. The cable got cut in Seattle was my, that was my attempt at a joke on Twitter. I kind of liked it. I even used the plug emoji on Twitter and everything.
I really like that. It's super corny, but I really like it.
It's terrible, but also...
Yeah, but I like it, yeah.
Bevel was calling the plays. Cable was overseeing the O-line and the run game, which really just failed to meet expectations. Yeah. Steve has always said, how the fuck is Tom Cable still in the job? I was like, he clearly has nudes of somebody.
Yeah.
Like, this the only explanation he has...
So does Gruden, of Mark Davis. Mark Davis.
Oh, like, Jesus.
These cannot surface. Oh, how many years God. You need? How many millions?
I will dump my eyeballs in acid if those nudes are ever fucking
released.
But
will you get a bowl cut?
More than likely, yeah, because it's me. And it's interesting, Pete Carroll is normally very loyal to his assistants, so it was kind of...
I don't think this is Pete Carroll's call.
Do you reckon he fought for them somewhat?
I think he probably did. I think what we're...
I mean, you look at the O-line production, it's like...
I think this is the beginning of a big offseason in Seattle.
You're about to see a lot
of big names leaving. You may not
players have... Players and coaches are just...
Coaches, I think, are already gone.
Yeah.
I think they're keeping defense as far as their coaching. But you could see a team that doesn't have some of the following list. Michael Bennett, Earl Thomas... It could maybe
We know Michael Bennett's good at running.
No, but my point
so
is...
So, normally it's from the... Well, yeah, I'll leave I know, that
from the guy
you
pissed off. Yeah. But my point is like...
And the Las Vegas Police Department.
Yeah. But, Earl Thomas, he openly like went to Jason Garrett after a game and was like,
that was
come get
yeah,
me
yeah.
after they cut me.
Jesus.
Richard Sherman could be cut. Like, a lot of these guys are coming into the non-guaranteed parts of their deal. Cam Chancellor could be cut.
R.I.P.
AJ Rudd.
R.I.P. Legion of Boom.
But my point is like... We're mentioning literally everyone who's a big name on that defense. They could all be gone. Not like they won't cut all 5.
The marquee names of the franchise.
I'm saying, like, some of those 5 will not be there next year. And like it's going to be a big shift because what they realize is we can no longer have the least expensive O-line in football because Russell Wilson is going to die. Like there was a joke. Do you know the Facebook page, The Kicker? I tag you in all those. Like,
yeah.
So they made this photo. It's Darrell Bevell, and he's standing with Pete Carroll, and he's like, "I had a job. I thought Russell Wilson just ran around until he got tired." And like, it's ridiculous, but like, it's to the point of it being satire. It's like it's partially true. Is like, no matter what you want to call an offense, if you can't pass block for 2 seconds, you won't have a passing offense. And the fact that they had a semblance of one this year. Speaks to just the miracles that Russell Wilson was pulling out of his ass, but
yeah, and look what happened to the Colts.
Like, they had no O-line, and their franchise quarterback is fucking off in Amsterdam in a fucking...
trying to get a labrum
surgery. In a bleeding coffee shop fucking smoking weed right now for all we know.
I mean, anything that soothes the shoulder, man. You know, it's just... It's about mental comfort at this point, as Ursula said.
Yeah, crazy. Also fired, Panthers parted ways with offensive coordinator Mike Shula.
Yep.
And QB coach Ken Dorsey. Carolina had finished 19th in total offense, 28th in passing, but they were better in rushing. They were fourth in rushing. So,
if you're Cam, do you take that as an insult?
That the coaches...
that like your QB coach and your offensive coordinator are both gone based off how you played.
Yeah. I mean, look at his numbers. Like, is it him or is it the players that are being called?
And
I don't watch the Panthers regularly
enough.
And I
get it. And I also get it. If you're a team, it's way easier to gamble to say it's the coaching than to try to cut your QB and say, let's start with Derek Anderson and see how this goes.
True.
But, like, I don't know if it's only the coaching. Cam just didn't look great this
year. Yeah, no, yeah. It's, I mean, even if the coaching was a little bit off, he should be putting up more than 185 yards once in fucking 8 games. Yeah. Like, that's... With the guys he has around him. Like,
oh, yeah.
I know, yeah, he was missing Olsen for a lot of games. Took a while for McCaffrey to get rolling. They got rid of Benjamin. Like, those things are going to probably affect numbers in some areas, but still.
I agree, but, like, there's two parts. It's like, one is, like, Cam just didn't look comfortable in his offense, and, like, part of that is the coaching. But also, like, you know, Cam just didn't look like he was there to want to, like, take those hits anymore. And look like he got to kind of a point this year where, like, it wasn't looking great.
He's talking a lot.
Oh, I agree. And, like, taking there was that huge rather. One. Like, you obviously saw all the highlights of this, like, in that Saints game.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thought it's a concussion.
Yeah,
it's like, it's my eye.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
I just, like, can we just say for a second, though, like, the league in general just needs to stop pretending it has a concussion protocol?
Oh, it's a fucking joke. Doesn't. It is a joke.
It really, like, Cam runs the sideline, and, like, I've heard, so the story is, like, Cam runs the sideline, goes down before he gets to the sideline. And the two stories you can believe is, one, he had a concussion so bad that he couldn't even jog and finish his way to the sideline and collapsed. Or two, he ran to the sideline, was fine, but his team told him, sit down so we can get the official timeout so we can get Derek Anderson in the game. Either which one is bad. One of them is, like, the second one is we're blatantly just, like, breaking a rule or, like, you know, bending it to our favor so we can get a timeout when we shouldn't have one.
Yeah.
Or the second one, or, like, you know, the first option I mentioned, is the worst one, which is, this dude is actually really concussed, and we're going to give him 3 minutes off, not bring him to the locker room like the rules dictate, and put him right back in the game. And, like, I get it. It's a playoff game. These moments matter. But when you have national games that are being broadcast, and we're all watching them, and we're seeing these guys, and our natural reaction is, he looks like he just got a concussion.
Yeah.
And he's back in the game. You're like, you clearly don't care.
Needs changing. Oh yeah, it looks like Norv Turner is set to take over there as the new offensive coordinator.
I don't know.
Hasn't really had much success in the last few years. But
yeah, I would say it's a weird hire to me. Like.
Yeah, I think that as well. We'll just briefly go over hire GMs. We got Brian Gain, Houston Texans, moving in from his role as VP of player personnel at the Bills.
Such a sad story too with the GM.
Rick Smith, his wife, is battling breast cancer. So all the best.
Yeah.
To the Smiths. And we got Brian, is it Gutkunst?
I've seen the name a lot.
Have I basically just said cunt on this show? Anyway.
I mean, but to be fair, you've probably said it before.
That's true. We'll just call him Brian. Yeah. And he is
BG.
He is moving up from director of player personnel. He's taking over from Ted Thompson as Packers GM.
They're in a very scary offseason if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah.
It's like you have no idea what's about to happen to that team.
Who knows? We'll see when it's all said and done. It starts back up in September.
Oh yeah.
We'll get a quick plug in from our sponsors, DraftKings. So we've mentioned this during the week. So they actually have a new format now. So they already had your standard picking 9 guys, well, 8 on a defense. Then they had pick 'em, which was you have a load of different tiers and you pick one from each. Now they have raised the stakes even once again. They have a new format called Showdown. So what Showdown is, you have the same 50 grand salary cap. But here's where it gets interesting. You're picking from one game. So you have 2 teams to pick from. And you're picking 4 offensive players and 2 defensive players. I'm used to picking IDPs from my fantasy league
I'm
back
not,
home.
Though, at all.
I love picking IDPs, so this is kind of interesting for me. So we're trying it out this week for the first time. We have a standard league in Paddy Pigskin, but we also have a showdown league as well. So we're seeing how it goes. But it should be interesting because you're picking it all in the same game.
I agree. And I think that's the hard part is especially so the game that you made is Falcons against Eagles. I know we're going to talk about this, but you really almost have to align it as much as you can to one team to think about how you can do the best you can. Because if you're picking defense on one team and offense on the other team, naturally you think there's going to be some canceling out of each other.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard because salaries don't align as well as you would like them to in that sense.
Which we noticed when we saw, I think it was Matt Ryan was $11,000-$12,000 or whatever it was.
Which is way more than what he would normally be. But I think it's cool, though, because for someone like me who's never done an IDP league, and typically the only way you do IDP is through a season-long league, which is the whole idea of why DraftKings was here to begin with.
Yeah.
Kind of tackling that on an individual week basis of saying, pick your IDPs for this, pick your IDPs for that.
It's
really cool.
It's a very big
change from what it used to be. So it's cool to see them expanding to try to cover more of the fantasy gamut in that sense.
I hope they, I'm assuming it seems to be quite popular already. So I know they're going to keep it for a few more weeks. Yep. So I would say they're going to.
I think they're probably going to keep it through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably.
Super Bowl seems like a perfect format for showdown.
Absolutely, yeah. By the way, congratulations on winning our NFL.com Fantasy League. I don't think we've actually congratulated on the show. So well done on winning the final. But
went a long way from the days where I was 2-3 and you were ridiculing me. So it's a nice change.
It's how you finish and not how you start. And you started rough, but you finished strong. Yep. So
just like those Giants in your hearts, yeah.
Oh Jesus! Enough about them. Anyway, yeah. So there's still time to sign up and join our league. Go to DraftKings.com rather. Use our promo code Paddy. You also get a free $3 entry when you sign up with our promo code as well. So make sure you use Paddy. I don't want people missing out on free shit. Whenever there's any free stuff to give away, I hope people can avail of those offers. So DraftKings.com, search for enter promo code, put in Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y. Join our league, have a shot at the showdown. And we have our first showdown this weekend. As Barry said, it's the Falcons versus the Eagles. So, yeah, we'll probably talk about it next week and see how everybody did.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how people get on and find the showdown format. So we'll move on to the divisional round picks. Saturday, 4:35 Eastern time, 9:35 Irish. Falcons at Eagles.
I didn't realize you wrote the Irish time too. That's great.
I have to, because...
No, it makes complete sense. It's just, I looked over, I saw 9:35. I'm like, where is this being shown at 9:35?
Fucking hour Mongolia or something.
Irish standard time.
It's obviously GMT, but I just say Irish.
It makes sense, yeah.
Falcons 3-point favourites, which basically makes them 6-point favourites.
Yeah.
The Eagles getting the traditional 3-point home team. Buffer over under 41.5. Go. Who have you got?
Okay, so for each of these, I'm going to challenge you to. We need to do spreads and over unders also, just so we can hear this and see how poorly we did, because we know we're going to miss these anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So winner is the easy one for me. I'm going to go Falcons on this. I think that offense is peaking at the right time. Their defense is looking really good.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the Eagles' defense, and we saw this when they played the Raiders, is that if Foles isn't going to deliver. And going to be if that offense is stagnant, the defense gets tired, just like any other big defense. And as a result of this, I just feel like while the Eagles are the more talented team top to bottom, if they could have a good QB in there, it's not going to happen this week just because they don't have the offense for it. So either the defense wins them the game by either stifling the Falcons or scoring their own points, or they don't win. Because I don't see a scenario where Nick Foles leads them to the chance.
Yeah.
It's really bad to hear how many reports have been coming out about how Doug Peterson is watching his 2013 game film of Nick Foles and trying to see what did they do in the offense that made him actually make sense back then.
Totally different players around them, though.
They even asked him, what are the odds of you playing the backup, Nate Sudfeld, for this game? And he goes, I'm not going to rule it out. That's horrible.
When did he say that?
He said it last week.
Holy shit.
To hear.
That's...
Because, like, if you're Nick
I didn't
Foles,
know that.
But I'm saying, and I get it, though. It's like, Doug Peterson has no faith in Nick Foles to
fucking
win this game.
Fucking hell.
So if you're Nick Foles here, like, you either put up or you're not a backup for the Eagles next year.
Yikes.
For the simple fact of, like, Eagles, Philly fans will kill you.
It kills me to pull the plug on Philadelphia.
No, it sucks. But
I,
like,
just,
again, we talk
I just
about this,
can't. Like, just... If, yeah. Can't see it getting done. I think they cover the spread and they win straight up.
The Falcons, you
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Falcons. Yeah,
I was going to say, I'm like, the Eagles cover the spread.
The Falcons, I just, like we said earlier, they're starting to come together now. They're starting to heat up. They've got Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
They're a very scary sixie.
Yeah, I really like the Falcons.
If you had to pick the over-under, what do you do? 41.5.
I'm going under.
Same here.
And I think a lot of... I did say that the Falcons will cover and also the Falcons will win straight up. I actually think a lot of those points will come from the Falcons.
Yeah. No, so do I. This could be, so like I thought about it when I saw that. Is it like a game that could make sense there is like a 24-17? I don't see the Eagles getting to 17.
Mm.
So like 31-10 is still under.
I can't see the Eagles scoring two touchdowns.
No, neither can I.
Just,
and like it's rough.
I'm thinking where are they going to come from. I just actually can't see them doing it. So
I know.
So we're agreeing there. Falcons Saturday 8:15 Eastern. And here you go, 1:15 a.m. Irish.
Yep.
We have
the most dedicated of fans who want to try to watch the Patriots.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Which there's a lot of Patriot fans in Ireland.
Is so like,
bandwagoners?
I was about to ask. Is that a bandwagon thing or like what? Is that?
Like some, in fairness, some of them just a lot of fans would just have only started watching football in the last few years, and there is that tie to Boston.
Well,
in fairness.
And that's what I was going to ask. So like,
yeah.
I know like there's a very big Irish
yeah.
tie to Boston.
A lot of them
so
may
so
have
like,
family or
that?
Cousins that live in yeah. Ireland, or they may have been to Boston. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them have been to New York, are Giants and Jets fans.
Yep. No,
you know, they're
that,
the two closest cities. Like
perfect sense.
Some of them are blatant bandwagoners, but whatever.
Yep.
You get that with every sport. So
100%.
Pat's 13.5 point favorites, over under 48. I'm assuming Vegas thinks most of that will come from the Pats, but we may be wrong.
I have to imagine because like take the 14 points there.
Yeah, yeah.
That means
true.
They're calling like a 31-17 game.
Yeah. Who have we got? This is a no-brainer for you, even though
okay.
you're wearing your Super Mario jersey at the moment.
So this is the ballsy pick of the season.
Oh my God. Does this mean I've got to get the Randy Marsh meme again?
Only if it works.
Oh, my.
If
wait,
not, you can embarrass
straight
them.
Straight up or against the spread?
They're winning. Titans are beating
oh
the Pats.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, I say the Titans cover the spread because they're favored to lose by 13.5. I think that we're
give
gonna,
me that bear back. You've had too many bears.
Okay. Yeah, I've had a solid 1.5, so it's clearly going to kill me right now. No, I just... It has to happen sometime. They have to lose at some point here. And I think I've been saying it all year, and Steph is a huge Pats fan, and Steph has had the feeling this entire year that they are not making the Super Bowl. So there's one of two ways that happens. Either they lose right now or they lose to the Steelers in the next round because it's not going to be the Jaguars. And I think the Titans set up in the right way to beat them, which is they're a power run team, which can make a lot of sense. It's basically, does Mariota show up?
Mm.
And like, the answer could be no, and that's totally fine. And like, I know I'm doing this pick in a completely stupid way. If I'm picking this 13.5 point favorites, obviously I should be picking the Patriots here. But I want to believe, and that's why I'm kind of just aligning it, is that last week I wanted to believe the Titans could do it, but I said no way they're going to lose to the Chiefs. I picked the Chiefs. This week I want to believe they're going to do it.
Okay.
And I really do think that it could be, if it happens, one of those moments that could really define a young career. And I think it's a team that could make sense to do it. They're young and athletic, and they are a hard, like, they play with a lot of effort.
Okay.
To a point where, like, the Patriots still probably beat them, but I think it might be closer than 13.5.
Okay.
I'm going to say Titans for the heck of it, though.
All right.
I think it's going to be an over.
Okay. Wow. So you think it's going to be a shootout, then?
I'm going to change that to an under. I thought about it. I was like, the only way they beat the Patriots is if they
double
pull the pass to, like, 21.
Okay.
So it would be like a 24-21 game. It would be like the way the Titans could win that game.
Okay. A lot of people are saying, you know, what Bill does best is take away the best player who, on paper, when you look at it, it's probably going off form. Derrick Henry, they're going to...
100%.
I think you will see a lot of eight men in the box trying to shut him down. Then you look at the matchups on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
you're going to have Stephon Gilmore probably going to go up against Rashard Matthews.
Yep.
Then you got Butler against Decker.
But see, if
I just don't like those matchups.
That's great. You'd love if Butler took Decker. Because, like, you still have a lot of other guys. Like, my big question is, who covers Delanie Walker?
Oh, wait, you got Corey Davis as well.
Corey Davis, Delanie Walker.
Corey Davis is the speedster, but if you get the right matchup, if you go, like, we've seen Stephon Gilmore hasn't been great this year.
No.
For the price they paid for
him. That looks like a horrible contract in year one already.
If they get Corey Davis, a speedster, going up against Gilmore, and he beats, like, we all know Gilmore likes to press and funnel down the field. If Corey Davis can get off that bump initially, that could be a great matchup for the Titans if they can maneuver him into the right situation. I just can't see the Titans doing it.
Here's the thing, like,
I think the Pats probably will win by two touchdowns.
You're making the completely fair pick here, and like, this is one that, like, if I didn't have any emotional stake in the game, I'd probably side with you on this. It's just like, I want to believe, just mainly because I want this dynasty to end at some point.
Yeah.
They're like, I think this could be it. It's probably not. And the reality of when they could lose would probably be the week after against the Steelers. But
absolutely agree with you.
As far as this 100%. Game, like, I agree. The Pats probably will win, and like, I'm making a stupid pick here. But I'm doing it purely just because, like, I really do think it could happen.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to the Sunday games. 1:05 Eastern, 6:05 Irish. It is Saxonville against the Steelers. Steelers are 7-point favourites. Over-under is 41. I'll crack on first. I do love the Jag story.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit is because Tom Coughlin is there, but whatever. and I'm delighted, like, they've been so shit for so long.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to see them actually, like, do something. But I really think the Steelers have, like, a bone to pick. After how that game finished in week 15, I still think that was a catch and a touchdown.
Oh, you're talking about against the Patriots.
The Jesse James type.
Yeah, no, of course I do. Especially just, after this past week of the playoffs, where they let two separate calls stand that looked the exact same play.
And
I'm watching, I'm like, all right, you're clearly just changing how you're officiating week to week.
Look at the brand. I've said this to a few people, like a few Pats fans. Oh, it wasn't a catch, blah, blah, blah. Look back at the Brandon Cooks supposed game-winning touchdown against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That was 100%.
He does the same bobble as he goes down.
The ball is out of his hand, is like almost completely out of his possession at one stage.
Yep.
And it was ruled a touchdown. I'm not fucking beating up on the Pats. Like, I just want the game called consistently.
Exactly.
And if you're going to call it consistently, the Brandon Cooks touchdown was not. They lose to the Texans. Deshaun Watson's the fucking messiah in Houston.
Yeah.
Similarly, the Steelers also win that game in week 15. I really think they have a fucking chip on their shoulder after that.
Oh, I definitely.
And I love that I saw Ryan Shazier back at practice this week, albeit in a wheelchair.
I was going to say, he wasn't practicing.
Albeit in a wheelchair watching his team. But they have, and Antonio Brown might be back now as well. He seems to be really doing all the rehab on his calf.
And if we look at like all those like cliches of like what makes a champion, they have so many of them in one team, which is crazy. They have the playing for the lost teammate.
Yeah.
With it, Ryan Shazier.
Yeah.
They have the guy who got injured late but comes back with a chip on his shoulder in Antonio Brown.
Like one of the best players. The best receiver in the league.
Yeah, but I'm saying like it's a great guy to have come back with a chip, right? They have a loss that should not have been a loss in their minds, which is the Pats game already.
They should have home field advantage.
It's a great week for them to start off, which is they have the most embarrassing loss of their entire season this week against the Jags. But they watch that game and they're like, we couldn't even crack 10 points. I think they're coming out super motivated for this game. I think they crush Jags. I think that over is not the over, but the Steelers cover is a very good bet.
Yeah.
I like the under because I just don't know how Bortles scores two touchdowns. With how he played last week.
And, I agree
the
on both levels.
Been playing a lot better. And like in a weird move that happened, I don't know if you heard about this week. So their corner, Artie Burns.
Yeah, I saw he
non-contact had, knee injury, which
he's,
is always
he's okay though, I believe, right?
I hear that, but they're saying he's still questionable for the game.
Right.
The backup, I think, is actually better as far as like this game because he's a better cover guy.
Who's the backup?
His name's Hudson. I forget his first name. But Artie Burns is much more of like a zone cover guy. I think is like good for his size and all that, but I think a little bit too handsy when it comes to like man-to-man cover.
Mm.
And I think that's how you help out Jacksonville, by giving them free yards in this game. Because I think if you make Bortles have to keep driving 75 yards, I think that's where it becomes really hard. Because you're loading seven guys in that box to stop Fournette. All right. That's a very clear strategy.
So we're agreeing on the trifecta.
Yeah.
Team, under, spread.
Yep.
That's the first. I think this is the first time we've done this.
I know, right?
It's just a clean sweep there.
So does that mean we're doing the Bovada teaser for this week?
Right, we'll move on to the last game. 4:40 Eastern, 9:40 over in the Emerald Isle and the UK. Saints at the Vikings.
They're smart to leave this one for last, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm super pumped this for
this
one.
This is a fucking belter of a game. Vikings, 5-point favorites, over under 46. I'm just going to go out straight off the bat. I think Breeze burst the Minnesota bubble here and the fairy tale ends for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I just have this weird feeling.
You got a feeling?
Oh, jeez. That was brilliant, actually. I just think that Breeze is going to win on the road, cause the upset. Again, his window is kind of starting to narrow. I think he knows this is a fucking amazing opportunity for him to go all the way.
Yeah.
I just think that the Saints get it done.
I do too. So I think I was shocked at the Vikings by 5, because that's a lot.
Yeah.
The one thing that's also like cannot be understated here is that Breeze gets to watch the Falcons-Eagles games for, like, the day before, which we think Falcons win. So if the Falcons win, Breeze knows that if he wins, the NFC Championship game is at home. He gets to go back to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's huge.
And if you're talking about like a very convenient path to the Super Bowl, you're going to have New Orleans, who could be playing at home in New Orleans, go to Minnesota, go back to New Orleans, and then for the Super Bowl, go back to Minnesota. So they're literally just in two places.
Yeah, that's really... I've never even thought about
and
that.
And he has just the dome route. No outdoor games to think of. Just dome. Which is like...
That's fucking awesome.
It's matching up beautifully.
Beautifully.
You never have to worry about like an outdoor cold playoff game.
I keep forgetting that the Vikings now play in a dome as well.
Well, thank God they don't do that Seahawks game from like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Is that the one where Blair Walsh...
Yep.
Yeah.
I love how after all that, Blair Walsh was signed by the Seahawks.
No.
The thing is like, oh yeah, you only do kicks to help us. They're like, no, you just miss kicks.
So who have you got in this game?
I have Saints also. Like, I'm pushing so hard for Breeze. Or, you know, like, I'll get to the point where like I'm probably not the most rational thinking through this. I know the Vikings have a lot of reasons why they should. But it just comes down to this idea of like, do I trust Drew Breeze or Case Keenum?
Mm.
And like, I know that the game is decided by way more than that.
Yeah.
But I still stick to it. Because like, if the Saints can establish a running game, if they can get Kamara and Ingram actually running in this game, I don't think they're going to be stopped. Because I think that Breeze will have too much like time. And they have too many weapons. Because like, you saw a point.
They really do have so many good weapons.
They made a huge point last week to really start targeting Brandon Coleman again. And they actually targeted Snead for the first time like all season.
Yeah. He's only had like, I think eight he averages... catches. Yeah, he basically averages one fucking reception. Because he missed the first four games, so almost one a game.
Like, and it's crazy, but I'm saying to the point where, like, if you're looking at it, though, like, and you're the Vikings, and I know they have a great secondary, because, like, you have Trey Waynes, you have Xavier Rhodes, you have all these guys.
Harrison Smith.
Yeah. But, like, the Saints have Michael Thomas, then they have Ted Ginn, then they have Brandon Coleman, then they have Willie Snead, then they have Kamara and Ingram out of the backfield.
Yeah.
It's a lot of guys to cover if they can get the protection from Breeze.
And all they need is one free, and they're probably going to take it to the house. Like, exactly. All of them can do that. Like,
exactly.
And that's all speedsters.
Like, and that's the problem with this, is, like, big plays, to me, are going to be a big deciding factor, is that, like, the Vikings, besides the let's throw the ball to Thielen and he makes two guys miss and runs it, they don't have their huge play. Keenum to Stephon Diggs has not been the most consistent thing for that offense.
Yeah.
To a point where, like, you're not going to be able to match them as far as big play to big play. The entire reason why the Panthers made that a close game is because they had big plays towards the end. McCaffrey catches an option route, takes it 60 yards to the house. And like, those plays are huge. But McKinnon and Latavius Murray are not those guys. Again, if we're talking about like beginning of the season, though, and they actually have, God, what is his name? Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
Completely different story in my mind. Like, they could be very different because he's an explosive big play runner. But you know what you're getting with Latavius Murray. You know what you're getting down with Jerick McKinnon.
Mm.
They are very good at what they want to do, but they're not these home run hitters on every play. And as a result, like, I want to believe that the Saints are going to win this just purely because I think they're going to be the team that will be more opportunistic and take more shots in this game. So it'd be cool to see. So if we're right about this, so what we're saying then is a Saints-Falcons NFC Championship.
Yeah.
And then I'll say Patriots just because we know that's the right call. Patriots and Steelers AFC Championship.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Where do we go from there?
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, but yeah. I got Pats, Steelers, Saints, Falcons.
Yep.
And then we'll...
I know, we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, we'll leave that to next week. Right? Yeah.
Can't give you guys too much of a teaser.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Just got to give them a little bit of foreplay and then we get to the main event next week. Right, we're almost finished our second can of the Blizzard of Hops. So... as always, we will rate the beer that we're consuming while we chat shit. So, yep. What are you going to give this one? I still think the tribute's number one.
Oh, it still would is. It's still
the fact that you asked me to pick up some tributes.
I'm literally walking over to the store right after this to go pick up some. It was good. Like, I would say, so we had the other, like, vanilla, like, ale thing. It was supposed to be, like, a wintry thing.
Yeah.
And at first, I saw this was trying to kind of be similar to it, but it kept the good IPA taste. I would say it was a little bit more, like, subdued than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
So I'll give it like a 7.
Okay.
It was good, but like it was one of those things where like I wouldn't have like picked it out of like a collection of things.
Yeah. When I take a sip out of this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be hoppy. And the hops don't really arrive for
exactly.
me. So like I just like mine very hoppy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give mine, like I wasn't mad about it. I'm going to give it a little bit lower than you. I'm going to give it a 6.7.
Yeah. But see, it's a funny thing. It's all about labels, too, because they call this a winter IPA, right?
Yeah.
If they just called this a winter ale, I would never have expected it to be hoppy. I would have just been like, oh, yeah, this is a good beer for what it's saying it is. And I would probably would have rated it higher.
Yeah.
It's funny how it works, right?
Yeah.
It's all about that advertising.
It's all about the advertising. And Barry, thanks very much for coming back in. We missed having you on. Hopefully, we do better with our picks. Hopefully, we go 4 for 4.
I know. We'll see how it goes,
We
right?
did 2 for... We got 50% right, but we really... like most people, got a couple wrong.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's a pleasure having you back on. Thanks very much for coming back in.
Always a pleasure, Gary.
That'll do it for episode 28 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're going to have some exciting news over the next couple of days. And also, wherever you're listening to us, iTunes, your favorite podcast app, wherever, make sure you're subscribing so all the latest episodes come straight down to your phone. You won't miss us talking about everything about football. So again, thanks very much for tuning in. Tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slauncha. Take care.